The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up, and welcome to The Art of Being Well. I'm a leading functional medicine doctor. I get to consult people around the world via webcam, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. I wrote Intuitive Fasting, The Inflammation Spectrum, Ketotarian, and my brand new book, Gut Feelings, is for pre-order right now. You can learn more about the clinical work that we do, the telehealth center, becoming a patient, the books, the podcast. There's lots of free resources there for you as well. All at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And listeners of The Art of Being Well, we're giving away free signed books. Super simple. No matter when you listen to this episode, every single month, my team and I will be randomly picking winners. I'll reach out to you and I'll ask which book you want me to sign. I'll send it out to you. And yeah, you can pick any one of the books. All you have to do is head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review The Art of Being Well there. Tell us what you love about the show. And every month, my team and I will be doing it two different ways. You can leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review itself, or you can take a screenshot of your Apple Podcast review and message me on Instagram at Dr. Will Cole with that Apple Podcast screenshot. So every month, my team and I will be going through the Instagram messages as well as the Apple Podcast reviews and picking winners, and I'll reach out to you. Good luck. All right, you all know almost at the end of every episode, a regular episode where I talk to one of my friends in wellness, I'll answer one of your burning health questions in an Ask Me Anything segment. And then we have entire episodes devoted to your burning health questions every month, at least once a month, sometimes more than that. This is the latest Ask Me Anything episode. And we're at the top of the year too, here in January. So I'm really excited for you all. We're going to kind of set the stage, not just for your health questions, but I also want to give you some behind the scenes of what we have coming up on the podcast, as well as the telehealth center, the new book that's going to be coming out. So you're going to get all the details of all the fun stuff we have going on. So to join me every month, we have for the Ask Me Anything episodes, we have my brilliant patient team. But today, you all know, if you listened to that last Ask Me Anything, Megan, who's one of the functional diagnostic nutrition practitioners, she's on maternity leave right now. So to take her place in her stead, you actually know her from the podcast on the Mental Health is Physical Health episodes, where we go into clinical case reviews. And Andrea, who's our functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and clinic manager. What's up, Andrea?
Hello.
So how does it feel to be on the Ask Me Anything side?
Well, I wasn't going to bring this up, but you scarred me about it the first time I ever recorded one of these.
So the first ever Ask Me Anything episode, go back and listen. It's one of the first episodes that we have of the AMAs. Yeah, we had Andrea on with the rest of us. And
my brain froze. Basically, I did not want to read a patient information and I froze. And it was this awkward span of time that they laughed about
for a
few weeks.
It's a great memory, though.
I'm here. I've been on the other podcast. I am back to be tormented some more.
So now she's with the rest of the team. So for the Mental Health is Physical Health case review episodes, it's with Andrea on sort of the functional medicine side. And then Candace on our team, she's for the mental, emotional wellness side of it, the mental health side of it. So those are great episodes if you haven't listened to them. But joining Andrea on the patient team, you know her from every single Ask Me Anything episode, Emily.
Yeah, what's up? It's like having mom and dad on the podcast together. I'm really excited.
Andrew and I are mom and dad, yeah.
I was just going to say, me, mom, pop-up.
Yes. Oh. You know, okay. This is the best. I'm excited.
So this format, to answer your questions, the patient team and I are here to answer your questions. So send in your health questions a few ways. You can go to drwilcole.com and the email is hello@drwillcole.com.
hello@drwillcole.com.
So we had a Gmail account before. We're making it super easy. hello@drwillcole.com. Ask us anything about wellness, labs, foods, functional medicine, anything within health and wellness and nutrition.
It's like an email
medicine.
Glow up.
Yeah, it is. Tell me it isn't. It's far better than drwillcoleinfo@gmail.com.
You can still use that because everything's forwarded.
Yeah, that's true.
No, yeah. If you send it there, we'll get it either way, but hello.
hello@drwillcole.com.
It just sounds better.
So the girl that's talking right now who's going to be asking your health questions
is
none other. You know her from every Ask Me Anything episode is DJ Holly D.
Hi there. Actually, you all know me for the 90s jams. Seriously.
That's true.
We get so many people that comment on the 90s jams, but we haven't really had anyone reach out with special requests. So
yeah, take your
I'm
request.
Asking, please email over your song
requests.
Yeah,
we get a lot of comments about them, though.
Yeah, we do. A ton of comments, but, you know, we want the
Nobody's
requests.
Nobody's. They just maybe like your selections every
yeah,
month.
Yeah, send them, which I get it.
Well curated. So Holly is on our patient experience liaison team. Her job is to really just make the patient experience the best. And she's compiled your health questions, and we'll get to as many of them as possible in today's episode. And I just want to highlight today, too, with Gut Feelings, we're giving away tons of free healthy stuff. So check it out at drwillcole.com. The subtitle to Gut Feelings is Healing the Shame-Fueled Relationship Between What You Eat and How You Feel. Super excited about this book. Dr. Nicole LaPera, the holistic psychologist, wrote the foreword of the book, but it's all about this bi-directional relationship between mental health and physical health. And yeah, I'm really excited about it. But it comes out very soon whenever you listen to this episode, but if not already out, if you listen to this a little bit late.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Let's get to the first question.
Yeah. So just really first AMA question is going to be, I always see ads for cleanses to reset the body, but it's overwhelming to pick the right one or know if they are right for me. What's your opinion on doing a cleanse and are they safe to do?
So cleanses are, it's a very general term, right, team? It's like it's super general. I think that term can be used interchangeably amongst many different protocols, right? Many different supplements, many different products. So you have to vet what you're talking about when you use that term, use that nomenclature of cleanse, because it really doesn't mean much, right? It's very vapid as far as it's defining something definitively. So there's no standardization of it, and we need to look at what are the ingredients, what's the purpose of it, is it something that is science-backed, evidence-based, and is it something that is reputable within the industry? So one way to do it is just look at reputable people within the functional medicine, health and wellness space. Is it something that they get behind? Because there's so many great brands out there, and they'll typically have people that have a platform to vouch for it, to give it some legitimacy. So that's one way to do it. Not that that's the only way you should do it, but educate yourself on the ingredients. The problem that I have with cleanses is that it's very much in that diet culture thought where it's, I'm going to eat and drink and do whatever, and then I'm going to cleanse and punish myself and do something super restrictive. And then it's like, it's not a lifestyle. So something that I've said for years to our patients is make your life a cleanse. Make your life a quote-unquote detox, because that's ultimately what's going to be supportive of your health long-term. If you do something for 7 days, maybe you're going to see some benefit to it, right? If it's a good quality thing. But really, you want to be supporting detoxification pathways through nutrient-dense foods and through different, you know, maybe herbal medicines for some people, different micronutrient things that are oftentimes deficient on labs that support detoxification pathways. Every day of your life. within reason, right? So I would say that's my perspective on it. That's one of the reasons why I really love Kroma. I'm the medical director for Kroma, which is, has a reset, and it's really about nourishment, not restriction. And we're going to have Lisa Eldenweller on the podcast to talk about this. So I won't go into detail, but it's something that the team and I actually do it every year. We do a Kroma reset, a 5-day reset, and yeah, we're actually doing one this. We just finished one actually. So, what do you guys think?
No, I would agree with you too. I think that really it comes down to the why at the end of the day. If you're doing this, I think that if it is something that, you know, it can be a great reset. Like we love Kroma. We've done, like you said, we just finished it. It's something that we do as a team. We think it's, you know, it's just helpful to kind of level up and, you know, reset the body. But at the same time, if it is that viewpoint of like, oh my gosh, you know, I can eat whatever I want and then do this cleanse to help reset, that creates like that toxic mentality too. And and we kind of become chronic cleansers at that point, I feel like. Whereas if you just really try to value eating whole foods and these different things, then I think it's a better balance for the way that you're going to even look at this type of cleanse. I think that it is a great tool to utilize, but I also think it shouldn't be the cure-all or the end-all kind of thing. And so I think that it is really important to see why you're doing it. And then also, I agree, ingredients are everything. You want to make sure that what you're putting in your body is good whole food ingredients. And so there's a lot of cleanse-like products out there that are probably not the best to utilize. And so I really think that educating yourself and maybe even looking at different doctors or wellness leaders that are going to provide good quality ingredients options like Kroma to get behind. So I think that those things are really, really important. But yeah, I always think about the why. Why do I want to do this?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And look, there's a time and place. You think of like a fasting mimicking protocol where it's like X number of days. Like Prolon is another one, right? It's like, it's not meant to be done all the time. There's a lot of science behind it. In my opinion, it tastes like crap, but
I mean, I like Prolon, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, I like some things within Prolon for sure. Don't get me wrong. It's to me the taste.
Kale crackers.
If you're gonna do Prolon, to me, do it for the science of it.
Yeah,
because it's like, wow, it's like there's Vulture Longo is doing amazing research, and there's good things within, there's yummy things within it, maybe. But in my opinion, there overall, the soups are kind of
well,
not
and I
the
think
best.
You have to realize too that there are certain ingredients in there that may not agree with you. So back to your point with just checking things, doing your research, because you're right, it's science based, it's research based, but does that particular thing work for you?
Yeah,
the reason some of it of us like some things and some of us don't is because of how we felt doing it too.
And we've experimented with all of these things as a team. We've all did Prolon together too.
Yeah.
So there's no shade on Prolon at all. I think they're doing amazing things. And there's different things for different people. And to be honest with you, I'm always saying this on the podcast. If there is a sponsor on the podcast, it's because I've done it. My team has done it and loves it. We recommend it to patients or all of the above.
Right.
And Prolon were the L bars were a sponsor on the podcast, but I freaking love the L bars.
I do too. Those were phenomenal.
To me, like, those are the best parts of that cleanse of the bars. So to me, it's like, I could get behind that because I like the taste of it. I get it. It's like it's mimicking fasting because it's caloric, temporary caloric restriction. So
And I will also just as a reminder too, because you are talking about, you know, some of these things are more restricted feeding type of cleanses too. So making sure that you're working with a professional too, if you're going, you know, going to do something like this is always really helpful. Like our patients will ask us, sometimes they are interested or sometimes it's a recommendation on our end of like, hey, this is probably going to be helpful to kind of get you where you need to be. But we're also monitoring that too, which I think is really important part of this process.
Yeah. So there's a lot of options out there. Clean is another one. You know, my friend, colleague, Dr. Alejandro Younger has Clean out there. So to me, I think the democratization of this good quality things is a good idea generally. But I agree with Emily's point. The why. Why are you doing this? It's not necessarily for everybody. Look, I think a cleanse, quote unquote, for some people is just quit drinking alcohol.
Yes. Seriously.
Like, that's a great one.
To be honest with you, that's... they're going to be such an impactful cleanse for most of America if they just did nothing else and just say, stop drinking for 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, maybe you won't want to bring it back.
What month? I don't drink. So
dry January.
Dry January. Okay.
It's wild because drinking used to be such a priority for me. Like anytime you go out, anything that you're doing outside, like it just was a priority. And I was somewhere this weekend and I don't know. I was with a friend that was like, let's get a drink. And I'm like, honestly, like you can get a drink, but I'm just like, occasionally I'll maybe have a drink, but it's just so interesting how my mindset has shifted. And I even said to my friend, it's really because I know that it like hurts my body. Like after I have a drink, I'm so inflamed. My skin is so like irritable. I mean, it's fascinating. I never noticed that when I used to actually drink, but now that I'm aware of it, I'm like, I don't even want one.
But do you see, Holly, how you're making your life a cleanse?
Yes.
And that's really, 100%. I think, the point of what we want to get to is you're finding what does and does not work for your body.
Yeah. What does your body love? What does your body hate?
Right. Yes. And being okay with that too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think drinking can be such like a pressured thing, whether you're around like family or friends or use it as a stress reliever, but like, it's really actually a stress reliever to say no to it. Because it's just like, now I feel better.
I love that you brought up the coffee too, because how many times do we hear it's like, I have to have coffee. It's such a ritual for me and all those different things. But it's like, even thinking the healthy options too can become ritualistic as well. Mm-hmm. I know like my husband just switched over to tea because he's just noticed the coffee doesn't make him feel good.
Yeah.
But it's like, you don't have to have the one thing. I also, you know, Dr. Cole, you say all the time, when we keep out things that don't make us feel good, it's not restriction. It's it's self-respect. Mm-hmm.
It's loving yourself.
It is. And so I think that's important to understand that. Why are you doing what you're doing and listening to how your body responds to that? Mm-hmm. It's information and your body will tell you what it likes and what it doesn't like.
Yeah. So it's food piece. What we teach our patients, it's food piece. It's not this sort of restriction. It's having that paradigm shift to saying, like Emily had said, like continuously, repeatedly eating foods that don't love you back. It's like staying in a toxic relationship and then complaining about it and wondering why you still feel miserable. But like you said, avoiding things that don't love you back isn't restrictive. It's self-respect. People need to have that. They want to talk about healthy boundaries when it comes to relationships and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like a buzzword, healthy boundaries. Good stuff for relationships. But having healthy boundaries with foods that don't love you back or alcohol, like what's that?
That's so true. You know what? Speaking of coffee, I want everyone to know I have gone down to 2 cups a day and I've transitioned to nut pods. I want everyone to know it's unsweetened. We're there. We've made it and I'm actually enjoying it.
What's your favorite nut pod flavor?
So far, I'm currently drinking the coffee cake. It's unsweetened. It's got a little cinnamon, I think, in there. Wow. It is just a treat.
Holly has also transitioned at night to having the chocolate element, too.
Oh, I have. Instead of that third cup, I'm now having that element, which I
love. Well, you talk about a simple, low-cost cleanse right there.
Yes. That's
stop alcohol. Yeah. Stop alcohol. Have some electrolytes and water.
Yeah. Wow. Right. It's so true. I mean, oh, and I feel so much better. Wow.
Have you heard about Open? You have to check this out. Open is this brilliant mindfulness app built to transform your life. You can experience the power of this amazing synergistic benefit of combining breathwork, meditation, sound, and movement to strengthen your mind-body connection. You can practice digitally on their app, which is what I do, and also their website, or you can practice in person at their studio in Venice, California. I'm doing something really exciting with Open that I'm doing with my entire functional medicine telehealth team here at the clinic that I want you to get in on it as well. It's Open's Breathwork and Meditation Challenge. This is for the entire month of January. So here's what you get during this challenge. You get free, unlimited digital access to Open from January 1st to the 31st, no matter when you're listening to this episode. Check it out in the month of January and beyond. What we're going to do is complete 31 practices in 31 days. You can take any digital class on the app or website. And again, don't stress. If you're listening to this after January 1st, join in whenever you listen to this episode. You can get daily breathwork and meditation practices. And the bonus is you can enhance your results with unlimited access to movement classes like yoga, Pilates, and high intensity interval training or HIIT training. When you complete the challenge, you get entered to win an Open in-person retreat. You can stay connected with your community on the Open app's social feed. You can share your Open profile handle with your community to stay connected, explore popular classes, and share kudos. So without a doubt, Open is one of my favorite apps for meditation and breathwork. And science around meditation and breathwork, it's just so exciting. It's a fantastic way to support your parasympathetic aspect of our nervous system. It's our resting, digesting. So many times I see patients stuck in this sympathetic, hyperactive tone. They're in this fight or flight, stressed, inflamed state. And this amazing challenge with Open that combines breathwork and sound therapy and movement and meditation is a great way to support your nervous system. So join me in the challenge. Go to withopen.com/willcole to sign up. That's withopen.com/willcole. That's willcole. withopen.com/willcole to sign up.
What's all right, next question. We could talk about it all day. Anyways, so this person says, my question is about histamine intolerance. I have some symptoms that seem like this could be an issue for me, but how can I find out for sure and what can I do about it?
All right, so we'll talk about it in today's episode. Also, we have a deeper dive conversation actually with Andrea and Hannes and I in a mental health is physical health. Just type in histamine intolerance and my name, you'll find it. It's like a full case review of mast cell activation syndrome and histamine intolerance. So the caveat here is just because something looks like a duck doesn't necessarily mean it's a duck. So there's a lot of things that can cause symptoms like this. And I don't want people to become obsessive or anxious about something like this. So this is a factor for some people, not for everybody. But it, I would say, is an underlying missing link for a lot of people, especially if they've done a lot of things and they haven't looked here. So this is just to empower somebody to like learn about a different aspect that we see a lot clinically. So histamine intolerance, some symptoms, what are the most common ones, friends?
Rashes.
Rashes, migraines.
Runny nose.
Fatigue, brain fog, digestive problems. Those are some common histamine intolerance symptoms. I would say fatigue, brain fog, migraines, runny nose. What did you say,
Andrew? Rashes.
Rashes, skin flare-ups.
Anxiety,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Anxiety, for sure. Yeah. So those are common symptoms. Look, a lot of things can cause those things said.
Yeah.
But look, histamine intolerance could be implicated. It could be a component of it. But then we have to ask the question, what's causing the histamine intolerance in the first place? Mm-hmm. So histamines are a normal part of the immune system. Histamine intolerance is when there's an excessive amount of histamine release in the body that we quantify on labs for patients. So foods can be part of that. Foods aren't the only part of histamine intolerance because, again, mold toxins can cause histamine intolerance. Food can just set it over the edge. Chronic Lyme disease can trigger histamine intolerance, but foods can set it over the edge. Mm. SIBO can drive histamine intolerance, but foods can set it over the edge. So we're not saying these foods are bad. We're just saying that they can be flaring up an already flared up system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So histamine-rich foods to consider would be alcohol and other fermented beverages. So if you needed another reason to consider not drinking or cutting back or going, Avaline has been on the podcast, low alcohol, which some of these can be lower histamines, these healthier versions of wine. Dry farm wines is another one. Fermented foods like kimchi, kombucha, kvass, sauerkraut, kefir, yogurts, things can be high histamine. Dried fruits, avocados, eggplants, spinach, processed or smoked meats, shellfish, aged cheeses. Those are all high histamine foods.
Bone broth.
Bone broth, longer cooked bone broth can be higher histamines as well. And then we have lower histamine broths that we recommend to patients that are histamine intolerant.
Yeah.
Then there's foods that are histamine releasing, like bananas, tomatoes, beans, papaya, chocolate, citrus fruits, nuts. So are we saying all those foods are bad? No. We are saying that even healthy things, what works for one person may not be right for you at this point in your health journey. And when we fix the histamine intolerance, we would want to be working on reintroduction. So health history, context, labs matter, but I'll kick it over to the patient team. What do you guys think?
I love that you brought that up too about it's not the food that is always the problem, because I feel like there's such a trend right now too of like, oh my gosh, you should only be eating meat or you should only be eating this because these veggies and these fruits are toxic and they're bad for you. And now granted, we use carnivore as a tool sometimes. There are times where we have to utilize that, but you also have to look at the demand on the body as to why you're responding this way to mm-hmm. those foods and look at the root cause as to why that's happening. And that's where I struggle when I hear people say that. It's like, no, these foods are not toxic. They're not bad. They're veggies and fruits. They're whole foods still. Mm-hmm. People have been eating them for hundreds of years. However, yes,
maybe even thousands.
Thousands. Yes, exactly.
Maybe
thousands.
Even tens or hundreds of thousands.
Yes, yeah. A long, long time. But at the same time,
at least
it's
a
like,
few decades.
At least. But for a long time, like people, you know, again, people have been eating these. And so you can't just say, hey, this is toxic, eliminate it. Like everybody's completely different. And so I think that it's really important to understand why it's happening. Get to the root cause. And yes, you can do labs to help to see if this is an issue for you. But ultimately, we also, you know, when people ask us, hey, can I see if I have histamine intolerance? Yeah. Yes, you can. But our goal still would be to say, why are you having this? And that's what we should also test for.
Mm-hmm. And it could be, I mentioned all this physiological side of things like mold, toxicity, chronic Lyme, SIBO. They also can be the psychological side of it. And that's what I get to explore in gut feelings is this sort of bi-directional relationship. It may be none of those things I just said, but it may be stress and unresolved trauma that's perpetuating a dysregulated nervous system and immune system.
And really, at the end of the day, you cannot just chalk up an entire food group sometimes and be like, I'm done with it. I'm never going to see it again. Because we have patients all the time, like how Dr. Cole even mentioned, lower histamine broth. You can have a patient that can eat a whole avocado and they're fine, but they look at a piece of spinach and they break out in hives. So if you're literally just looking at things and writing things off without exploring for yourself and your own bio-individuality, you're going to end up reducing and eliminating things over and over again because you're still not getting to the root cause.
Yep.
And who wants to live like that?
And how many people do we see? It's the overwhelming majority of patients that we see at the telehealth center that they have five foods that they're eating because they've whittled it down to like basically nothing because look, with the best of intentions, they've kind of had to do that.
Yes.
Right.
But just to survive, just to get through the day because they've narrowed down, I'm having reactions to all these foods, but that's no way to live long term. And I think that we have to figure out what is keeping your body so non-resilient, what's keeping your body so hyper-vigilant to these otherwise healthy foods.
But I would also love to look at your health history. How many antibiotics have you been on? How many, are you on any medications? Because there are medications too and things like that that can absolutely produce that type of intolerance as well. So it's not even just the food sometimes too. You got to look at the other things that maybe are producing a higher demand on your body as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I love what you said, and I'm not going to plug my own podcast that I was on, but I do think that the mental health is physical health. I mean, please do not write off the fact that this is a cycle that can happen where it's the trauma now is the food, but the trauma started off with something else.
Yeah.
And so if you're not getting to the root of what happened in the first place, you're creating a cycle that just, you can keep eliminating foods, but you're going to not actually heal what triggered it in the first place.
Yeah. And in that episode, and we see this so much clinically, sadly, is that you have basically food sensitivity triggered orthorexia.
Yeah.
Where it's like the orthorexia is triggered because of you're having all these random uncertain symptoms, flare-ups from foods.
And you're trying to control what you can control. And we get that 100%. But at the end of the day, then everything becomes a fear. And then what's feeding into the cycle? Is it the fear or is it the food? Is it both? Yeah. And if you're not unpacking that, you're going to end up really traumatizing yourself more.
So part almost, for anybody that has these wild reactions to foods, almost always we have a mind-body component to it.
Yes.
Gut and feelings, the physiological and the psychological, because that retraining that limbic system, retraining that nervous system, supporting that parasympathetic is essential even when you deal with the physiological factors, if there are any. Yeah, great question. Our next partner is Athletic Greens. I take AG1 by Athletic Greens literally every single day. It is my go-to just to get everything I need in one freaking scoop. It's super convenient. It's one thing if I'm busy consulting patients and I have so much stuff going on at the telehealth clinic, I know it's one thing I can do every single day for some self-care to support my wellness. And it's not just me. Many of my patients are obsessed with AG1. AG1 is way more than just greens. It's all your key health products like multivitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, adaptogens. It's a very convenient formula to support your energy levels, your immune system, your gut health, longevity, all the things. With just one scoop of Athletic Greens, you can get the nutrients and gut health support that your body needs to truly thrive. I like that my AG1 is delivered monthly, so I don't even have to think about it. I also get the travel pack, so I don't have to miss a day. When I'm traveling, I'll put in, like, if I'm gone for 7 days, I'll put 7 travel packs of AG1 in my carry-on bag, and it's there to remind me every single day to be consistent with my AG1. So if you want to take ownership of your health, today is a good time to start. Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D, and also they're going to give you 5 free travel packs of Athletic Greens with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/WillCole. That's athleticgreens.com/WillCole. Check it out.
Okay, so we have, it's up to you. We have rapid fire questions or we have a study that we could do first.
I think we can get to both.
All right, yeah, what do we want to do first, y'all?
So the team compiled rapid fire questions for me that I have not seen. So I'm afraid.
Yes.
I'm excited.
I'm so excited. We haven't done this in a long time.
Can I answer some of them for you? Because I've known you so long.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Come on, Mima.
You can correct him if he's wrong.
No, like, yeah, 100%. So if I'm over talking him, it's because he's not being honest. So we'll point those out.
I love this.
All right. Let's do it. I'm not
okay.
Afraid.
Are we ready?
Let's go.
Number one. Are you someone that has a word for the year? And if so, what is your word? Are you one of those people?
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Typically as a team, we are, right? We have a chalkboard in the back of the clinic where we write it. We have this big meeting and we really set the intention for the day. That's sort of the macro.
Everyone probably thinks your word is peppered.
Oh my God.
That's the word that you use all the time. Peppered and...
quintessential?
I can't think of it, but...
I mean, there's a lot of things that I say a lot. Whale. I talk about the same things every day. Whale. Do. Yeah.
Peter the dolphin.
Peanut butter.
That's more like a...
Our word of the year is abundance. Mm-hmm. And I know that we'll be talking about a new word this year. Yeah. But yeah, so that was our word last year was abundance. Yeah.
Do you have a personal word, though?
No, I don't have a personal word. I to me, it's like on a macro level, we really set the intention.
The word
and
macro.
Then on a micro level, we start every day as a team in prayer and meditation for the day, mm-hmm. which I think is important because it sets you for the day. It's the seed of the day the morning is. But the larger year, we definitely do. Last year was abundance.
Yep.
And that was for our patients as well as for the mm-hmm, team mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. every level. I wanted abundant health for my patients. I wanted to speak life into them. I wanted them to find new levels of healing they hadn't seen before. Yes. I want them to have physical, health abundance in their life
mm-hmm.
as well as for the clinic so we could give it to them.
Yeah, we usually, the start of this year, what we have is we have Dr. Cole spend some time just like meditating and praying on like what mm-hmm. he thinks the year should look like and what you're kind of feeling with that. So,
so check back for our next word.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so rapid fire, but this isn't very rapid, but.
Yeah.
Finish the phrase, the way to my heart is.
Peanut butter.
If you didn't say it, I was going to say
it. I knew
peanut butter,
you were going to say
peanut
that.
Peanut butter, Zevia, whales. Done.
Yeah. So I'm a simple guy. So living a simple life. I love Valencia peanut butter, low mold, organic, all that stuff. Dr. Stephen Gundry, listen to that episode because I asked Mr. Lecton himself what his thoughts were. I'll let you listen to the episode to hear his answer. But I don't care. I'm going to do me.
Yes, that's why I'm sorry if you have a peanut allergy, you can't work here.
That's yeah, also part of food peace. It's finding joy in the things that do love you back. And peanut butter does love me back. I don't care what anybody says.
Okay.
All
right.
I love it.
Now I can quit anytime.
Question number three. What advice would you like to give yourself as you begin this new year?
Oh, advice for myself? I mean, I would say... I want to be better at anchoring myself in the present moment, which is my life's work.
A good one.
But like to not get swept up in the schedule of the day and thinking about all the things that I have to get done, but really be rooted more in the present moment. I've come a long way, but I still have a long way to go. So that's definitely, I want to flex that mindfulness muscle more in this year.
I love that. Okay, what world record do you think you have a shot at beating?
Wow, these are interesting questions.
I know.
How many Zevias you drink in a day?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Or I would say like Earl Grey tea. I drink more tea than
like anything. How many beverages can, someone
beverages
drink?
Beverages in general.
That's
a
good one. Yeah. How many beverages can someone drink?
How many different beverages you can order at a restaurant?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one too.
True Foods. I mean, it's a minimum of four.
You take him to like, a health food restaurant like True Foods. Yeah. It's going to be the whole menu.
Because
you
have to sample it.
And you I've never seen anything like it.
The trick is you order them all at the one time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to wait way too long and it becomes impatient. And you just want to get your crazy out right away.
Yeah. And I like the black, True Food Kitchen, I like the black tea. I like the prickly pear tisane. Mm. I like the matcha horchata.
Hot.
Matcha horchata.
Oh my gosh. Don't shout out to that. Okay.
That
drink is incredible. Yeah.
And I mean, a little bit of a sneak peek. I mean, I told people I'd be giving a sneak peek of the show. Dr. Andrew Weil, who is the founder of True Food Kitchen, is going to be on the podcast.
Yes.
So, there's going to be so many cool conversations.
Can you record there?
I haven't. Yeah. Can I record inside a True Food
Kitchen? I'll have one of everything.
All right. Okay. So you're going to beat the beverage drinking record of the world.
I love it.
What is one of your nicknames? Do you have a nickname? Do you have any nicknames?
Well, the team calls me, the marketing team more than the patient team, everything's abbreviated in emails is DWC.
Mm, yep.
DWC this, DWC that, yeah.
We have nicknames, though.
I do actually call you by your full name a lot, which I won't say.
Well, and the, some of the patient team has...
Listen, no, don't take this the wrong way.
I'll explain the story.
It is taken the wrong way.
No, Holly and I like are adamant. Sometimes we like to refer to him as daddy.
No,
no. I don't think it's a bad thing.
No one likes to do that. No one actually wants that.
That's because you guys sexualize it.
No.
But you know what?
No, that name is reserved for me. We talk about it all the time.
Listen, there was one time in Starbucks. This is many years ago.
They did it. It started to embarrass me.
We
That's
wanted
literally
to
why
embarrass
you did.
Andrea and Will, but Will just started to like it. So.
Yeah, I own it at this point.
Yes. Sorry, and we can go all day here.
I'm mortified. I'm actually embarrassed to be on this
right now.
We basically look like a group of FLDS, fundamentalist Mormons walking around.
Yes, 100%.
Oh my God.
But I love it.
I'm not bored.
Holly and I are adamantly against this.
I feel like now everyone knows the secret.
This is embarrassing.
But, okay, so on a personal level, it's daddy for some people. But on a... on a professional level, DWC is
DWC. Yep.
Yeah.
I know it's not a nickname, but I call you William. It's like...
Well, that's my full name.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Name. But no one calls you that. So it's kind of a nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Okay. What do you want to learn more about this year? I feel like you're a learner. So what's something you'd like to learn
more
about?
I'm Enneagram 5, Wing 4, researcher. What do I want to learn more? I think health and wellness is so much going on. Continuing education on myself and my team. I love that. We always look at the most cutting edge stuff so you can really implement in our patients' lives and in our own lives as well. I'm really fascinated about non-health-wise right now, the ancient technology of the Egyptians. And Nikola Tesla knew about all of this stuff, and because he used geometry and shapes and sacred geometry and sound and how the pyramids, there's a compelling theory that the pyramids were actually used as sort of energy centers, using the earth and using shapes to move things and to power things. So
that's fascinating that you're studying that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You also love, I would say, what's that book you're reading right now about the women, the six, the...
Oh, the Salem witch trial.
Yeah. You love that kind of stuff. And I'd say anything English... is something that
we would all be burned at the stake, by the way. We would all be burned at the stake.
Yes, for the functional medicine. we really would, because we use herbs.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone outside of the box would be burned alive. So
that's true.
So glad we have a few hundred years on our side.
There
we're
we go.
Safe. All right.
Okay, just a few more. Would you rather travel to the past or the future? That's a good one. I like this.
That's a good question.
Okay, come on. This
Especially
is an easy
for you,
answer.
You put thought into it.
Yes. Easy answer.
So easy answer for me. I don't know if it's the wisest answer, but I would say the past.
Yeah.
because of curiosity.
Yeah, 100%.
The future, I probably should go there to gain some insight.
No, we need to know that.
I want
to
go to the past too. Yeah. I would not say future.
Honestly, I can't fully decide. I just feel like there's so much in my future that's unknown, and I'd like to get a little glimpse. That's how I feel, kind of.
Yeah, I know that's what you feel. I know exactly where you want to travel to.
What does 5 years from now look like? I just want a glimpse.
Yeah. Okay, just a sneak peek.
I love it.
What was the biggest thing that you would say that you learned this past year?
Ooh.
Biggest thing I learned. I feel like I'm more flexible than I've ever been of just letting things go and flow. And I'm used to having my hand in more things. And now I think with the clinic, I trust so many people on the team. I have some amazing people in really important positions within the clinic that I don't have to be involved in every meeting, every step of the way. Mm-hmm. So that's a new thing. I think this past year was the first time that I've ever done that so much. Would you say that?
You're staring at me.
I'm saying it, yeah, because I'm seeing if you agree with me or not.
I would say I've definitely seen you get better at that.
I'm still involved in
learned
a lot.
And learning.
Yeah, I feel like you're more flexible.
I would say you, I mean, honestly, the last 5 years, I say you probably, if I said it, you just let it go. You don't really, our patient team, you're on top of. There are different things that I think that I will say this, having known you literally my entire life and worked with you the last 13 years, you are better at that than you have ever been. And I love that comfortability that you have because we do love you and we love what we do as a team.
Thank you.
Yeah, daddy.
This is going to be a girls. Thing now and I will never be back again.
I cannot believe that we've brought it to the podcast. I'm embarrassed.
Now the entire world can know. We can live our best selves now.
I'm dying now.
Wow, you guys feel free. It's like, it's all out there.
No more secrets.
No. I'm literally mortified. Let it be known.
Yeah.
I'm mortified.
Not for me. Not
like,
for me.
If you can see me right now, I'm sure my face is red.
Yeah, my goal really in life is to embarrass Andrea. That's what I
so
come
easy
here every
to
day
do.
To do.
You guys have for the last literally decade of
it.
My life.
I love it.
Okay, one last question. Do you wear socks with sandals? Like, is that your vibe or
I
what?
Would, but I don't have like Birkenstocks to do that with.
You wear those plastic slides. Aren't they the
I have one pair.
The easy knockoffs that you have?
No, I don't have knockoff anything. On. What are you talking about?
Sorry, the real Yeezy sandals.
Yeah, let's be real here.
No, they're actually Yeezys, but I'm boycotting that. I'm going to burn it up.
Oh, here we go. Oh,
don't get me started.
Can you just give it to me? So, but it's either fine. Way, I have seen you wear socks with sandals. You do. You have a pile of socks in your office that you keep
I'd
and you rotate
you're
through.
A sock guy. You walk around in
yeah,
socks.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm a big
so, but
fan
I don't,
of the birds with socks.
Yeah, I don't have Absolutely. Those, but I would wear them, yeah.
But what's weird is, like, growing up, we made fun of people that did that. And now I'm like, absolutely, I'll
100%,
wear socks. 100%.
I do them all. This Amazon $20 cloud foam sandals things. Oh, I wear yeah, those every day of my life. Those.
Well, I feel like I'm learning a lot about myself that I'm the most offended that Andrea said my Yeezy knockoffs. What type of human do you
so
think
sorry.
I am?
You're right. That would be me that would buy the knockoffs. You would never.
My goodness.
So sorry to have offended you. I'll hear about this for the next 3 weeks.
And moving on.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Is that
it? Those were our Ask Me Anything questions.
All right. So now, before we go, we're going to jump right into Science Corner. You will know at the end of almost every Ask Me Anything episode, we go into a latest health science study in the scientific literature that we find fascinating so you can impress your friends and family.
Yes.
With knowing some science. So what's today's study?
Okay, so this one is titled Transgenerational Transmission of Aspartame Induced Anxiety and Changes in Glutamate GABA Signaling and Gene Expression in the Amygdala.
Okay, I feel like that was a big counting
vote. So basically, can we give her a clap?
Yeah,
right. Really, did I practice saying amygdala?
Before
in
we
my
started
head.
Recording, she was like, aspartame, amygdala, aspartame. It's not aspartame.
I'm so glad that he threw it.
Can we shorten that for the listeners?
So let's, I'll break it down. This is a study out of Florida State University College of Medicine. Researchers have linked aspartame, an artificial sweetener found in nearly 5,000 diet foods and diet drinks, to anxiety-like behavior in mice, Holly's favorite type of study. Mm-hmm. Along with producing anxiety in the mice who consumed aspartame, the effects extended up to 2 generations from the males exposed to the sweetener. The study was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The study is showing is that we need to look back at the environmental factors, the researcher said, because what we see today is not only what's happening today, but what happened 2 generations ago and maybe even longer. The study came about, interestingly, in part because of previous research from the Beeb Lab on the transgenerational effects of nicotine on mice. The research showed temporary or epigenetic changes in mice sperm cells. Unlike genetic changes or mutations, epigenetic changes are reversible, we know, and don't change the DNA sequence. However, they can change how the body reads a DNA sequence. So the U.S. Food and the FDA approved aspartame as a sweetener in 1981. Today, again, nearly 5,000 metric tons, 5,000 metric tons are produced each year. When consumed, aspartame becomes aspartic acid, phenylalanine, and methanol, all of which have potent effects on the central nervous system, on our gut-brain axis. So how they did this, let me just break this down because I think this is interesting. The study involved providing mice with drinking water containing aspartame at approximately 15% of the FDA-approved maximum daily human intake. All right. The dosage equivalent to 6 to 8 8-ounce cans of diet soda a day for humans continued for 12 weeks in a study spanning 4 years. Pronounced anxiety-like behavior was observed in the mice through a variety of maze tests through multiple generations descending from the aspartame-exposed males. It was such a robust anxiety-like trait that I don't think any of us were anticipating we would see, Jones, the researcher said. It was completely unexpected. Usually, you see subtle changes, and they saw very extreme changes. When the mice were given diazepam, a drug used to treat anxiety disorders in humans, mice in all generations ceased to show anxiety-like behavior. So they knew it was anxiety because it was working upon that GABAergic pathways. So as Holly said, it impacts the GABA pathways in the amygdala, which is sort of our primitive reptilian part of the brain, which is our fight or flight stressed part of the brain. And they could calm that down when they gave them an anti-anxiety medication. So yeah. There are other studies at the Weizmann Institute in out of Israel showed similar things. The mechanism seems to be the microbiome shifts, the microbiome alterations because of these artificial sweeteners, these diet soda, diet food sweeteners, shifts the microbiome, which then shifts the way GABA is impacting parts of the brain like the amygdala, the fight or flight, sympathetic fight or flight stress part of the autonomic nervous system. So very interesting. We see it all the time clinically patients, but what do you all think?
100%. I mean, in all seriousness, not to rag on people who like their Diet Coke, but I mean, these are some of the patients that have some of the highest amounts of brain issues, meaning anxiety, brain fog, depression, and they don't even realize that it's simply as changing some of their food can alleviate that stress that their body is under. So 100%, I can say we see this clinically all the time. Yeah. And it makes me think about all the chemicals, not just aspartame, but I mean, reading this study, I'm thinking about glyphosate. And we talked about that on one of the mental health and physical health. But in particular, yes, diet stuff is not good. I remember myself as a child drinking Crystal Light and my grandma buying it for me at 11 years old. I shouldn't have been drinking that.
No.
Yeah, no. And I agree. I was actually just talking with a family member the other day about this because there's someone who doesn't really have any health issues and they don't really care about what they eat or drink. And they were just curious, you know, why should I care if I'm not seeing any health issues? And to me, it's like, I want to send them this study. Like, there's so much information about this coming out now. Like, not only the demand on your body or the threshold that you could reach at some point, but you're also seeing it affect generations now.
Generationally, like, that's nuts.
It's so fascinating, honestly. This stuff is really something that I'm glad we're learning so much more about. And you actually even talk about, you know, intergenerational things within your new book and things like that.
Yeah, and gut feelings. Yeah. So this... intergenerational trauma on a mental emotional level. Research coming out of there was a Ukrainian famine in the early 20th century. The Holocaust are good examples of it, multiple generations impacting, and those are extreme situations that researchers can obviously see.
Right.
But I have no doubt it exists on a spectrum. But there's also not just psychological impact in the physiological. Physiological impacting the psychological gut and feelings. Yep. I love this study. I wish it came out earlier. I could have included it in the book.
Yeah, seriously.
But more studies every month are coming out of this sort of connection between gut and feelings. And researchers are planning an additional publication from the study focused on how aspartame affects memory. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
With brain fog and word recall.
I wonder what those poor mice walls were running into.
Yeah, I mean, they won't be able to leave the maze. They're just going to be walking around in circles, sadly. But, I mean, look, that's a whole other ethical conversation we won't get into. But the mechanisms are fascinating from a science standpoint.
No, 100%. And, I mean, it's really sad to think about that. Sometimes we need to go beyond ourselves and ask ourselves, like, what are we setting the future up for? I know you don't, like, your family member, I'm like, they may not notice any symptoms as well, but do they want to support something that their niece, nephew, grandchild, you know, could really end up with being not able to function as well as they could have if we had just made better choices now? This talks about denaturing our soil. And I mean, it goes into, I mean, you could really go into any different area of this, of are we caring for ourselves as if we want the next generation to have better too, not just ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Fascinating study. All right. I think that's the last part of the show. We wrap up every Ask Me Anything with just some music as medicine, some 90s classic.
It's such a buildup now. It makes me a little nervous because I'm not really a singer, in case you guys haven't noticed.
I mean, they love it.
Okay, I have one in mind, though.
She's like, I'm not a singer.
She pulls out her full
Okay,
here.
Sing it along if you know it. Ready? Bop, 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 I do. Yeah,
yeah. We went to
Yeah. I know that. I know that.
If you're listening to this, do you want to do a private show for us? They were my favorite growing up.
They just came out with an album not that long ago.
Really?
I don't think they stopped touring and recording.
They're still
Are you
on
kidding
tour?
Me?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, obviously, maybe I shouldn't say they were my favorite because I'm unaware. But that song,
I mean, it's one of those ones that, do you guys ever see on Instagram now, those challenges that they do, or I'm sure it's on TikTok, where it's like the 90s and you can't dance, sing, or move, and they like play like the 90s song. Mbop is on there. It's one of those.
It is.
That would be
challenging to not really
to have it here
go
be on. You can't move. So that's definitely
I love it.
All right, everybody, if you want to learn more about the clinical work, the telehealth center, becoming a patient, Gut Feelings, the new book, all the other books, you can check it all out at drwillcole.com. We'll see you next time. Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back every Monday and Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.